irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa, Accent on London edition on LA Talk Radio. I hope everybody already knows that I am living in London now. So I am so happy to bring very unusual guests that I'm meeting on the way, sometimes to another town, to another stop, sometimes through our friends. Hey, I start having a lot of friends here, so I'm excited about that. Sometimes they are friends of my daughter Natasha. Sometimes I'm going to the store and open my mouth and say, hey, where are you from? What are you doing? Because London is the most multicultural town in the world. So I love that my accent on is really focusing on accents. So today in my studio, I have, of course, person with an accent. And she's originally from Spain, but not really. So let me introduce our guest. Her name is Helen Duque. And I will say wrong, probably. Helen.
Helen Duque.
Okay. Helen Duque. See, now people know I don't like to introduce my guest. Helen. Even when you say Helen Duque, when we write your name, doesn't sound doesn't look like it sounds.
Like a Duque. So, a lot of people call me Duque. Duque. Okay. But they try. It's a fact of trying, isn't it?
But I think a lot of people will find you very, very interesting. So if somebody wants to like just find you on a LinkedIn or just on a Facebook or wherever you are on social media, we need to pronunciate your name because professionally you're a very, very interesting person too. So please tell us your full name. Helen, everybody can write, but your name.
And it's Duque, D for Delta, U for Uniform, Q for Queen, U for Uniform, and E for Echo.
Sounds so cool. So now, obviously, you are a producer and film trailer editor.
Mm-hmm.
That's for how long you are in this business of producing and cutting trailers?
So I started 5-6 years ago. And I found myself in that situation because of a friend, basically. He was the one that introduced me to the film industry and all the departments and all the like little like professions that are within film that I had no idea about.
So that's what is the coolest things about people coming to another countries and just becoming not overnight success story, but really the journey, what makes people that I'm bringing to my show and talk to them, the journey is the most interesting one. So I will want to start from the beginning. So you were born?
I was born in Colombia. And my dad is Colombian, my mom is Spanish. And they moved back to Spain when I was 1 year old. So I didn't experience the culture much. But yeah, I was born in a little town called Marsella. Not Marsella from France, but Marsella from Colombia. Marsella Risaralda. And then moved to Catalonia. And basically, I grew up in Spain.
In Spain. So we can say hi to mommy and daddy and to your sister, yes?
Yes, my sister as well. She's back home now from traveling.
Wonderful. And you are the lucky one. You had parents who had were open-minded and they wanted you to discover the world and just allowed you to travel. Last 28 or 9 years I spent in America, in Los Angeles, and I have so many wonderful American friends. But what I think separates us as Europeans from American young people, that they do not travel a lot. They are staying in Los Angeles places sometimes for years. If they move, they will move state to state, but they don't long to travel to know another countries and cultures so much. So I think when they see people like you or like me, they were like, oh my God, you have so much courage. How do you do this? How you can rebuild your life? How can you start all over in another country? I know it wasn't easy for me in Los Angeles when I had already a husband, I had my child, but just becoming, in a way, successful professional person that I wanted to be took really, really a long time. So for you, your parents told you, if you wish, you can go to America and learn English. And you were how old?
So they proposed that to me when I was 17. And I really didn't thought about it before. Like English, I was studying English like back in high school. But nothing, like I didn't thought of English as a language that I needed to have. So they were the ones that were like, oh, why don't you go to the to study your last year of high school in the States? And I said yes, but I didn't really thought about it. And then I think a week before going to the States, then it's when you really think, oh, this is big. It's going to be weird. It's going to like be hard to make friends again. It's a bit like...
How long you plan to stay in US?
So they, for my high school last year, so just 1 year for my senior year.
It's a long time to just leave mommy and daddy.
Yeah, it was not just for a summer. It was for a whole year. And also it's not, because I do have relatives in the States, and you feel a bit more like secure with people that obviously is family. But this one was like sending me to a family that I didn't even know, and I didn't like... know if I was going to connect with them. So I was in the States and I ended up in a little town called Freedom, Wisconsin.
I like that, Freedom.
The name, yeah, Freedom. And the good part about it, it was not like a massive town. But what I found is that also there was not a lot of foreigners there. Like I was one of the only persons there.
With an accent,
yeah. Well, I didn't have the English at all. So I remember the first week of like me arriving to the family and trying to communicate, or them to like communicate with me, like, oh, do you need anything? And I didn't know what they were asking me. So it was a bit of a struggle, but it felt that they wanted me there. So I felt wanted, so I didn't like feel odd in like a new place. So I was very lucky because I could have like, that was the best family that
you could dream about, yeah, in the new country.
In a new country.
And how was the school? Because schools must be different.
Very different.
And I didn't mention, you said I am originally from Spain, but you speak two languages,
yes,
even when it's... Yeah, from Spain. You already...
So I'm from Catalonia, and in Catalonia they speak Catalan. That's the first language. So it's new. It's very different. Well, it's not very different from Spanish. Like, you have similar words. But yeah, you are raised bilingual. Like, everyone in Catalonia knows how to speak Spanish or Catalan.
So I would like you to tell us in Catalanian this sentence, and then okay, identical in Spanish. So whatever, tell us in English what you'll be
okay,
saying.
So I'll say, for example, thanks for having me today, and I'm looking forward to like hearing more stories from people from London.
Wonderful.
And yes, and I hope also you are enjoying your time here.
Oh.
So in Catalan will be moltes gràcies per tenir-me aquí avui amb vostè i espero que també estiguis gaudint el temps aquí a Londres. And in Spanish, we'll be like, muchas gracias por tenerme hoy con usted y espero que espero que tenga una buena experiencia aquí en Londres.
Wow, sounds really different,
yeah,
but similar, but really different. It sounds beautiful. Already everybody is jealous because now we have a girl who speaks three languages, and obviously you learn English being in America in the small Freedom town in mm-hmm. Wisconsin for 1 year. You of course had some learning possibilities in Spain too. So you had a little tiny bit of English in you, but that was the coolest things ever. Before we start recording our show, you were mentioning how you learn even food names and stuff like that. Could you tell us the?
Yeah, the, obviously, when you don't speak the language at all, it's a lot about like the gestures and repetition, isn't it? So, like, if you are thirsty, you will be like, oh, water, water, because maybe it's the only word that you know. But then after, like, a while, then you kind of, like, ask, oh, may I please have a glass of water? And you don't really know how you, like, made that transition. It's all about, I always say with new languages, the first thing is that, your ear get used to the accents
and the melodies
accent, and like it's like the intonations. Then it's then the second like a step is understanding the words. So if people is having a conversation and you understand just one word from that conversation, you kind of guess the rest. And then the third part of it is you trying to speak it. I think one of the things that people feels more embarrassed about it's basically in their mind is like, oh, I'm going to say something wrong or with the wrong accent or the wrong word. So people tend to not speak just because they are embarrassed. But then after you are like, oh, I need to communicate, and you like forget about you being embarrassed, then I think it's when
brain
you start.
Is open up, heart is open up. And what is the most beautiful way of learning English is to meet wonderful people and learning that really people are very forgiven. They really admire people like us who are coming from another countries and just bring the best of us, you know, and just they try to embrace us. They try to be very helpful. And like you said, stop being embarrassed that you are not perfect. Nothing is perfect in this life. And obvious, London is the perfect town for all of us to just gather, have these cool conversations and to get excited about something that I see on my table is Korean dictionary. So why that?
So I have a really good friend that I met here in London very randomly. And she is from Korean. She's here for 2 years. And I don't know, like, to be honest, I started getting curious about, like, the Korean language. And also she, like, her as a Korean person, like, her, like, culture and, like, what she cooks and everything. And she can introduce me little by little. And then little things like hello, she will say it in Korean, which is 안녕하세요. And you just
That's complicated.
Yeah, and just keep it like you just like keep saying the same thing until it
clicks and stays with you.
So yeah, so I love learning new languages and
so now Helen, she has her Korean dictionary in her purse and she's on a tube, and that's the bestest part of London, I think, that you can leave your car or don't have a car at all and you can spend this time on a tube to read a newspaper, learn Korean language, or just talk to your daughter or grandma, or just say hi to your child and ask
in Korean
in Korean, hey, you know, that's the hello. What was the hello again?
안녕하세요.
That's a beautiful, beautiful long hello.
Yeah.
the most exciting for me is when I meet new person, and I met you today for the first time. First, you know, you read, if I want to know more about guest education, where you're coming from, and I see the word Cambridge education. I'm getting goosebumps right now. Really, because what makes me the happiest mother and the happiest human being on this earth to see my daughter being very well educated, you, Helen, you know, coming with these titles and schools, which we'll talk about that. And your journey is just so smart, so intellectual, and it just is still surprisingly open, because we never know what the next year will be, when you'll be working, what is the next job, the same for my daughter, what country she will be living in forever or next one. So this is the coolest things ever, to meeting smart young people like you, Helen, and seeing how you can manage life in a new country, a new amazing town, and learn this town to become yours. So Helen, Cambridge, so time to tell us how this happened, you know. I know you left Wisconsin with the Freedom Town probably in age of 18, and you came back to Spain?
Yeah, so I went back to Spain, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do yet. There was one thing that I kind of liked, which was music, and I wanted, organized events, evolving?
Woo-hoo!
Evolving around music.
Yes.
So basically, at the beginning, because I didn't really know what I wanted to do, I went to University of Barcelona to study English, and I didn't like it at all. Because in my mind, I thought that it was going to be like a class about, yeah,
you're
about
a creative
English.
Person, you're creative.
But then in that, like, I saw that a lot of courses were like first like learning a Spanish language like very, very well for then like teaching English or speaking English. So I was not very happy with it. So then I changed and I went to University of Girona. And over there I did tourism. So because in my mind, and my dad also studied tourism, so I always had a very like found, like I really liked that kind of like work and industry. And from then I got on a scholarship to go to study in Austria. So I did 6 months in Austria. I don't remember any German though. It was very, very hard. But it was one of the best experiences. There is this program called Erasmus that a lot of universities from Europe offer. And it's basically you going to study in another place around Europe. And it can be like France, it can be... And you just have to apply and just hope that you get it. So I got it and I went to Austria and I had the most amazing experience over there.
6 months, yes?
6 months. So I went from January...
And you were studying tourism?
Yeah, like classes from... Mm-hmm. From tourism. And over there, like, you get to meet Italians, you get to meet people from like Turkey, you get to meet people from Japan. So it was very like, and also you get to this new country and everyone around you is there because of the same situation. So suddenly you become close very quickly.
Because, what a life.
It was a very interesting
experience. I'm just
experience.
Hoping people who are listening to Accent on a London edition this time on LA Talk Radio really, really will open their minds to allow their children to travel, to just discover another culture, because that's what, like you mentioned, when you are surrounded by people from everywhere, you become one. It's not anymore I'm from here, they're there, because you really are one. Mm. You're living, eating, and trying, and having the same issues and problems, you know. So rebuilding your life after 6 months in
Austria,
you decided to move where?
So I went then back to Spain to finish, because that was like between my years of my degree, mm-hmm. To finish my degree in Spain. And then I went to Barcelona and I studied my master's in Barcelona in communication, organization of events and protocol. That's the name of the master's, super long. And through there, you could get like business diplomas through Cambridge.
From Cambridge.
And I kind of like signed up and did all the exams and everything that you needed to do.
Oh, how easy. I just sang and did all the exam and decided my master's after master's.
I don't think before you can enter the next chapter of your life, which is the profession, I think you need to like get ready, like with education, like the more you can put on your CV of education, even if it's like a French course or like some computer software that you learn outside university. It's all those little skills for you to get your foot into the professional life, into a professional life.
Yeah, because people are reading and they see how, you know, you are not only one side of mind. Okay, study. No, you are just, mm-hmm. how you say, you are all around.
And sometimes
around
it's
person.
Very, especially after uni, it's very difficult to just like get into like get your first job, because sometimes you get like, oh, you need to have all of these experiences, or you have to be, and it's like, how can I have all this experience if I just finish uni?
Exactly. And what now, you know?
And it's a bit frustrating at the beginning. So the most like education that I, and as I said, like my parents were really, really open, and my dad always says, I will take care of your education. Sorry. I will take care of your education. Like anything that you want to study, just let me know. Like we'll make it work for you. Even if it's just learning a new instrument. He always says that I'll support you with that.
Did you? You played something?
No, my dad plays drums though, but and percussion, yeah. And he wants me to. But he's very like supportive of building you up.
Oh.
But yeah,
don't make us cry.
Oh no. But yeah, so that's how my dad was. Maybe it's a Latino culture, but education is very, very important.
Very important. And that's how you make happy children, you know, when you give them this upbringing and you believe in them and you show them that all is possible. And when parents say, I'm there to help on all the way, you know, how much I can, and you'll be fine. You just do it, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, I know it's not a perfect world because there's so many marriages there divorcing and they don't live together, and children need to figure out lots of stuff on their own, especially in America. So in a way you are very, very lucky because Europeans still value education, value family, because you are in London, but you mentioned every 2 months you are going back to see parents. And
to be honest, like the distances here in Europe are so small compared to America. So if you want to go to Italy, or if you want to go to Portugal or Spain, it's minimum,
and
no,
you are
maximum
doing
3 hours. Yeah,
you're
so
doing that.
Hawaii,
said.
I went to Bali and then Hawaii. I do like travel. Like I like traveling. So yeah. So basically, every chance that I can, like I go back home for a weekend.
So now we are looking at this most beautiful young woman that I have here and talk to, very, very, very well educated, you know, speaking fluently minimum 3 languages, learning more and wanting. That's her dream, she said. She would like to just speak every language, many of them. So, and we'll later you will tell a little bit about how did you wind up to work for whatever company and do what you are doing, what you'll be doing maybe in the future even more. But I want to really, really focus still on the London, because after Cambridge, you needed to find out what you want to do, and you decided to move for 3 months, yes, to London.
Yeah. So basically, I still didn't know what I wanted to do, and it was very annoying because I felt that I was losing a bit of my time. I was like, oh, I cannot concentrate in just one thing. So I finished my master's and I told my parents, if I don't like travel a bit now, I will never do it. So I came to London and my plan was to be in London for 3 months for just the summer. And 8 years later, I'm still here. My mom is still mad about it, but yeah, so I came for the summer here, and because of my background and my studies of tourism, it was kind of easy to find a job as a receptionist, and I work in a hotel in Mayfair. So that was my first experience here in London. And then that's the thing, London kind of like keeps you here, like it sucks you in slowly. You don't know how, but you like, my mom is like, so when are you coming back? It's like, oh yeah, I'm just like planning to stay now until Christmas. Like, okay. So then I found a place, and yeah, it was London is a very hard city. It's not an easy.
You said you found a place, and people say, oh, she's in London, she got the job, she found a place.
Oh no!
Tell us what
the place
it was. So again, that's your journey. That's a journey of young, educated, wonderful lady who works in great profession right now, educator herself with help of the parents. God, thank you, parents. We love you so, so much. But open minded and knowing that she wants to travel, she wants to learn the most, and happen that 3 months in London changed her life for a long, long time. 8 years right mm-hmm. now you are in London. So, but people say, oh, she just rented. Oh,
no,
she just
it was not easy.
Tell us. So people understand that it's not scary to have your own journey that starts mm-hmm. minimum, and then develops to something much, much better. So, yeah. Tell us the first three months. Did you live?
Yeah, it was not easy. So one of my friends from university, she moved to London a couple of years before me, and she was telling me that the way it's very hard to like rent or find a place without a job, because in London, basically, which you learn afterwards, but a lot of people move depending of like which station or like tube lines are next to them. And work as well. So, for example, if you know that your work is next to the Piccadilly line, you are going to try to rent a place around the Piccadilly line. And I didn't know that. Like, that's the thing. When you see London from outside, you'll say, oh, I would love to live in Notting Hill. Oh, I would love to live in Chelsea. Yeah, that's not it. Like, until you find... First is finding the where you're going to work, and then, like, trying to rent a place from there. But one of my friends told me that the best way to do it, especially when you are just out of university and obviously you don't have much money, it was like renting, like being in a hostel. So there is a bunch of hostels, especially in Queensway or the Notting Hill area, where you just like rent a room, but obviously that you have to share the bathrooms, there is no kitchens.
How much monthly?
It was $300, almost $400.
Okay, so it's affordable. Mm-hmm. Yes,
it was not too bad. But the good part about it is that the people that was living there was in the same situation as you. It was like people that were just arriving to London, and they were there maybe only for the summer, or they were planning to stay for longer. But you kind of like make friends very easily, just because all of them are in the same situation as you. And I got, like, that's when I started meeting people as well from other places in the world. And then when I was full-time then as a receptionist in Mayfair, then is when I started looking for a place to rent. And that's the thing. People doesn't know how big London is.
Yeah, I remember... myself many 3-4 years ago, first time when I visited this town with my daughter, we said, okay, London. So in 3 days we saw so much, and we thought that's what London is about, and it was everything that every tourist wants to see. Mm-hmm. So, and it was like compact 3 days, yay, we already know London. And my daughter fell in love with this town so much, and she just wanted to move here and work at the job that mm-hmm. she is working right now, 3 or 4 years later. So, yes, all happened from the dream to reality, mm-hmm. but we needed to wait for 4 years to become a reality. Sometimes we just need to wait. Mm-hmm. Good things happen to people who wait, that's for sure, too. So, yes, you are right. So, London is a very simple to navigate town in a way because of tubes, but don't tell me to go by myself left and right. I would be crying, and God thank you that English people who are here, they're so helpful, and just they'll tell mm-hmm. you where to go, how to go, where to meet. It's easy, but it is spread, and
it is big.
Yeah, it's big. So you think, oh, I will live in this part of the town, but I will work there. It will take you like 2 hours.
An hour and a half. It does happen that a lot of people move in an area that they like, and then suddenly they find a job in the other side, and they have to move out. And there is a lot of people that I met through my time here that they moved like 8 times. And I'm like, oh, like that's crazy. But it's a normal thing. Yeah. Like people moving so much. And obviously that's something new that I learned, and something that is very London, that people move a lot.
Okay, let's take a little break. Now time for a song. Ilona Europa, Eternal Kiss, radio mix by Club Junkies UK. With
kiss. Oh, twice in July, we're falling in love.
We are back with Helen, and we are talking about London. London is one expensive town.
It is. It is a very
expensive town. So you are single, a beautiful single woman, and your priority is to save the money for the sake of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You found a way to live life on your own in this town. So it seems like it's possible, but it's possible when you are working, yes?
Exactly.
So how did you come across the job, or what job you had between when you stopped working in a hotel? We want to know how this 8 years happened and start maybe backwards today to today's day.
Yeah, so basically I met this guy, really good friend of mine, that he is working as a BFX artist.
What does this mean?
It's visual effects for films. So I met him randomly, and the good part about it is that he kind of introduced me to the film industry. And he was like telling me, it's like, oh yeah, I worked in this like Harry Potter's, and I worked in the, I don't know, what was the... I don't remember the movie now, but Gravity, sorry.
Okay.
I work in Gravity, and his team won an Oscar for it. So that was something that I was very amazed by, because I've never heard of like a visual effects artist. I never heard much about the film industry. It was something that it was like very, like, you just think about film, oh, they do a movie and then it's out. But then you kind of find out how many people is involved in a movie, in a pre-production or a production or a post-production like sector, that is like thousands and thousands of jobs that you might never heard of them until someone is like telling you about them. So he was the one that was telling me about all these movies that he worked on, and I was like, oh, that seems pretty like a pretty interesting industry. So then what I did is basically, I just started contacting everyone. Like, so in film, that is a prep, like the that is like three main sectors. It's pre-production, which pre-production is there are script writers, there are casting directors, there are like people that collects all like the finance to like make a film happen. Then is the production side of it. That the production side of it is people actually filming, like doing the film. So that comes like the actors, comes the directors, the camera, the lighting, the set producers, everything. And then there is another sector that is post-production, that is the marketing of that film. So in there is trailer houses, there is like audio mixers that mix the final product, there is people that does the posters for the movies. There is the
distribution.
Marketing. Yeah, exactly. It's the marketing of the film. So Mark, which is my friend that told me about it, he's in the post-production side of it. So I started like looking into post-production companies and basically like send them an email and say, hi, my name is Helen. I would love to like work for you, and if there is any work experience, runner positions, because I didn't have the background.
Yeah.
So basically, I just knocked a lot of doors. And one, I was very lucky, because one of them was like, oh, you can come for some work experience. So even though I was working full time, I was like doing part, like more maybe early shifts, and then like running to this company.
Wow.
And so it was like a 15-hour like day for me. But it was something to put on my CV. So I started like doing that for like a couple months. And then after 6 months, they come and say, hey, we're looking for someone that is more like
as a
runner.
So you can fill the positions.
Yeah.
So you were there ready and you could say, I'm here. So
exactly. And they saw my face and they knew how I worked. So even though it was very hard because I had to work for free and I had to like do it without...
Not everything what you like to do, probably.
Exactly.
A lot of stuff.
And very tiring. I kind of put myself there and then they remember me. So when I got the opportunity to join the company, I was very lucky because it was at a time that the company was still very small, but with very big projects. And during the six years that I was there, I grew professionally kind of quickly because I was there from the beginning. And I started like getting the skills of assisting the MD or just like assisting trafficking a campaign.
MD, what means MD for people?
Oh, managing director okay. at the time. So it was like more assisting other people, but then I was getting all those skills that you need.
Absolutely.
For like grow within the company. And then our creative director was like, oh, Helen, would you like to know how to edit? And obviously editing is something that...
Yeah, computer work,
yeah,
completely different.
It's something that it was very new for me. But at the same time, I always liked the video side of it and the editing. So, so I cut... there was this movie that we were working called Divergent.
Okay.
That is like a book series. And E1 was the one, the distributor. And they were... We were doing the TV campaign for like the theatrical release. So basically it's like 30 second mini trailers or TV ads.
That's a very interesting moment because people who are going to movie theater or now on social media, we are just looking at the short trailers, then we are going to movie, maybe a little longer trailers, but none of us understand how much work and
how much
hard marketing, how much I'm learning all of that because obviously Natasha, my daughter is working in the filming industry. So seeing how hard people work, how you need to capture our viewers' attention.
Yeah, exactly.
From the second. And so, I'm very proud to meet you, but you are a part of this lot of people who make us to want to go to movies and spend money for. So it's a very, very probably hard job, and to give job to a person like you, the MD or somebody needs to say she's the right person, she has the right vision, she has the right mind, she knows a lot of, already has own opinion, knows how to voice it, and she, technologically, you need to also be able to do that.
A bit savvy with computers.
So you said that the first trailers, do you remember
It was like a TV campaign, so basically that creative was going to be played on TV, like in different channels. So I cut my first TV for this movie called Divergent. And I was very pleased because even though it took me a while, like it took me like a whole week to cut something like that, the client loved it. And we did like maybe like three versions of it. So it was not something that client was like, oh no, let's skip this one. Because normally when like how it works, I always say is like a tennis match. Mm-hmm. So client comes to you and for a trailer, for example, and they are like, these are the brief, the guidelines that we want to see for this trailer. It can be, we want to showcase the action or we want to like prioritize the characters or we want to just prioritize the storyline. So then you get the trailer, you get the movie, and sometimes the movie is 4 hours long because the movie is not finished. So when you receive the movie, sometimes you see green screen or you see the audio is not there yet. So but by that time you start putting like the
idea what the idea, movie is
exactly.
about. But you still need to narrow down to
2 minutes.
The most cool parts of the movie, even when you don't see full movie mm-hmm. put together. And boy, without music,
yeah, exactly.
the movies are really, really, sometimes it's very hard to go through 2 hours of movies. And then you say 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what a mind it need to be, what a taste and understanding
you
what people will want to see to make them excited about a movie. So that's why very careful money spending, because people like you can break the movie or break it to not make people come and see
mm-hmm.
it. So, yeah, so I'm sure you were worried to put your thoughts even and your mind and
yeah.
saying to people who work with you, what about that?
It's a collaboration. So you kind of like work... You, as an editor, work on putting the trailer together, but also you have a producer behind you, and you have also yeah. the creative director that gives a bit of, like, what to do or what not to do. And then, as I said, it's like a tennis match. Then you send it to client, and client brings, like, gets you feedback. It's like, oh, I love this park. I'm not very keen about this one. Can we try to introduce this character? So then it's back and forth. And some trailers get to version 20, and the thing about people, something that people don't know is that massive trailers for example, for a Universal title, sometimes you work on them for a year.
Wow!
So you receive the movie maybe in January, and as I said, it's a movie that is still not finished, so 4 hours, and you start putting the trailer together, you send it after a month, and then it's back and forth, and then if the movie is releasing in December, you need to finish the trailer maybe 2 months before. So some editors work in the like they see the same movie over and over and over again.
How can you get off your mind and clear your mind if you already are working for 2, 3, 4 months on a trailer, and
mm-hmm.
then one day client says, I want completely different approach.
Yeah.
So just scratch everything what you did and just reinvent because we have new idea.
Yeah.
Did
and
you
it,
ever
it,
had this
yeah,
situation?
Yeah, it happens. It happens Hi. Where you like are working on a trailer or a TV campaign or any like AV creative and...
AV
is video.
Okay.
So AV creative, video creative. So you work in any like AV creative and client comes back and says, oh, you know what? I'm not loving the music. And for example, for someone that works in like trailers are very music and sound effects
yes.
heavy. So suddenly them not liking that piece of music means that you have to change the rhythm of the trailer.
Mm.
And it's not easy. It's like something that people think that
people
it's easy.
People say rhythm of the trailer because all action, all words or everything, this is like has an own rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Music need to support this.
Exactly.
Also, so then when music is taken away, if you have fast music and then somebody say, no, need to be slowed down and everything.
Exactly.
So all tempo, all energy of the trailer changes. Ah, no.
It
we
is...
don't think about this when we are sitting or watching on the Facebook and we are like, oh, okay.
Another
so people,
trailer.
When you see the trailers, you really watch them. You really think about how hard people like Helen is working to capture our attention and then go to movie. And sometimes, happens to me, not once or twice, trailer is so hot and then you go and movie is like, oh my God.
But that's our job.
But that's your job, you know.
Exactly.
So, hey.
Like I've worked on many, many campaigns that maybe the series or the show or the movie is not great and you have to make it great.
Yes.
But then as well, the other side of it that a lot of my friends like comment sometimes is like, oh, Helen, like I saw this trailer and the best jokes were on the trailer. And it's like, well, you need, to be honest, if that's like you need to showcase
yeah.
In 2 minutes, you need to make people go and watch a trailer. And sometimes a lot of clients like do like put some feedback that you as an editor or a creative like is like, oh. I just got a note that I'm not liking, but you have to do it. Or some people is like, oh, you need to like put this scene, and you kind of argue back. It's like, oh, this scene is going to give the plot away,
plot away
or too much. It's like, yeah, but this comes from, like, this is feedback from above, like, because clients as well, they have bosses. So that's the thing, you just need to, like, compromise.
And we are talking millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Like James Bond right now, I read that $20 million are already sunk into, they will lose because they will mm-hmm. release the movie much, much later. But still, it's worth it to lose money to not lose so much in this crazy moment when everybody's afraid of coronavirus. So they did
it's affecting the industry, definitely. Yeah.
Who will go to movies right now?
Exactly. You know, for sure. And for example, this, the James Bond movie, for example, I don't know the people that are working on their campaigns. So I know the people that they are cutting the trailers, the TV spots, and they were a slam, like back to back, like working so much for it.
Time.
And then suddenly it's like, oh, it's pushed back. Yeah. And that also, as a company, affects them. Yeah. Because suddenly they have like 6-7 months that is like, oh.
What will they
like,
know?
We are on hold now. So obviously things like that affect the industry.
I wonder if the 6 month also will change approach of producers say, oh, the trailer 6 months ago, we liked it, and for sure they will like to renew. So maybe it's good because the you know, trailers, cutters and producers like you will get another job, so they will make twice money. But boy, you cannot predict anything in this life.
Yeah.
So you need to be ready today. I hope people are really, really loving to listen about the industry talk, film mm-hmm. industry talk. We are having in our studio Helen
Duque.
Everybody repeats, Helen Duque. And spelling your name is D-U-Q-U-E. And she's a producer, film trailer editor, and like I say, very, very well educated. A lady, young lady, speaking 3 languages, working on more. And her master's degree came from Barcelona, mm-hmm. yes, and then Cambridge.
The diplomas,
also
yeah.
diplomas. So she is a really, really smart cookie. And I think everybody, anybody who one day will have her working for their company probably will be very proud to have you. So let's end our show with the song by Natasha Mira and Kid Genius called Love Me the Way I Am.
But I've lost all my control. In the shadows, the fear that runs through my veins takes over my mind and I go insane. I've tried, but somehow I can't let go. You say you love me, but then you leave me, and in the end you take it all away. How can you love me if you could leave me, and in the end there's nothing left to say? Tell me that you love me the way I am. Tell me I wasn't a pawn in your greater plan. I can't act like it was a surprise, cause I saw the light dim in your eyes. Leave me, oh, love me the way I am.
The way I am, the way I am.
Love me the way I am.
The way I am, the way I am. Couldn't love me the way I am. I told you that one day you'd have to be brave. Shelter your heart that I couldn't save. You tried, but somehow still can't let go. Shadows of fear that run through your veins takes over your mind and drives you insane. You try, but somehow still lost control. Yeah,
you said you love me, but then you left me, and in the end you took it all away. How could you love me if you could leave me? If in the end there's nothing left to say, tell me that you love me.
I saw the light dim in your eyes.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.